Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, the show welcomes back Turley Wine Cellars, but this time, their greatest wine, the illustrious Hain Vineyard Zinfandel. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Tonight won't be just any night. We're drinking Turley.
Yes, tonight on the show, we are drinking Turley's value-priced, cheapest, worst Zinfandel that they make, their Hain Vineyards. Now, Scott, do you have enough room in your body? You're still drinking the Parducci True Grit. Do you? I mean, you've drank it, a wine you don't like. But on tonight's show...
Not as much as you drank, sir.
That's true. I like that wine, but not a great deal. But you still have some.
There's a reason for that.
I know. On tonight's show, we are drinking a wine from Turley that I have made fun of and Scott's been very defensive of. The Hain Vineyard Zinfandel is, in fact, their most expensive offering, period. They sell it for $75. You can buy
to
it.
To us.
Yes. You can buy it for $125,
$130.
I'll bet
market sees even more than that.
Very expensive Zinfandel. It's 680 cases a year. And the one thing I will say that I really think is cool about this wine, it's not Howe Mountain. It's from St. Helena.
Yep.
So, which, that is like hallowed ground. It's really just the elite of the elite. And so you're talking about a prime wine from a prime winery, and this is their historic. This has always been their best. Recently, in the most recent vintage, they brought out a Monte Rosso Zinfandel, which we splurged on, which is $10 less. But the Hain is the daddy of Zinfandel. It always has been. It's the daddy of Turley. And really, it's one of those wines that, if you know Zinfandel in California, you're going to know this particular wine. I'll argue to say that the Uberuth is superior or the Pacenti is superior. I might be right, but in reality, it doesn't change the fact that this is the OG, the daddy of Zinfandel.
Billy Joel had it right. You may be wrong, but you may be right. You're wrong, sir.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. Vintage to vintage. I don't think this is the 16 vintage.
Yep.
Given what
Wine.com priced it at $130.
Given what Robert Parker and the wine enthusiast thought of this wine, I do not think this is going to be inferior to its counterparts from Uberuth and the Pacenti in this particular vintage.
Robert Parker does not throw points away.
No, he doesn't.
And he doesn't give them generously.
And after he reviewed this wine, he didn't have a lot of points to give.
97 of his points.
Yes, and 95 from the enthusiast. We'll get to that in a little bit. So I'm particularly excited to review this. We have had Hain Zin in the past. We've had Hain Petit Sirah as well. But this has had a long decant. And we also are not burdened by the third wheel.
Ouchie.
Oh.
Ouchie.
The triple B. No, she's not here currently because she's off playing Bunko and playing Twister. For those that don't know what Bunko is, I don't either. So just, you know, look it up. And then you can tell us in the comments. But you know what Twister is. And then you're saying a grown woman playing Twister? That's right. That's right. That's what I said. You can be a pervert and get excited about that, or you can be serious like we are and focus on the wine.
That there's a group of people playing Twister and you're here on a Friday night with me,
yeah,
making
with you.
Wilford Wong dick jokes.
Yet, I have not done that. I shall, though.
Yeah.
So, I will. I might even talk about the taint.
Jesus, it's Hain.
And the butthole. I'm going to talk about the butthole, Scott. The balloon knot. Yeah, wow.
Thanks, Scott. Christina Turley was settling down with her very handsome husband. that isn't you. And she was going to listen to that. And then you just fucked it all up by bringing Wilford in the, the fold.
And I brought Wilford into the fold.
She's probably like, you know, I've met that Wilford Wong. And he never, you know what? I see that. That might actually be him. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here. Did I mention that Christina Turley's married and her husband's a lot better looking than you?
No, oh, that's false.
I just want to mention that out here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
Turley Hain Vineyard from St. Helena in California.
So excited about this.
I am too. So, the reviews, folks. That's right. This is Wilford Wong. Now, guess what? I never reviewed this wine because they said I'm a fucking hack. And I thought I was pretty rude, especially when they said I'm a fucking hack. I wasn't mad. They actually called me a fucking hack. That was rude.
Wilfred?
What?
You are a fucking hack.
Shut up, Scott. I don't write for the wine enthusiast, for Christ's sake. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Anyway, I lost my voice. Robert Parker gave it a 97, and he said the 16 Hain Vineyard is spectacular, bursting from the glass with a captivating bouquet in which aromas of rose petals, ripe cherries, and wild berries mingle with nuances of spice and coniferous forest floor. I don't know why, but full-bodied, Santy, what's
satiny.
That? Satiny, I'm sorry. I've never seen that word written. And expensive on the palate. It's multidimensional, succulent and juicy, and amazing weightlessness intensity. Weightlessness?
Weightless intensity.
Well, that sounds better. I'm high. Concluding with a long perfume finish. To my palate, this wine's singular personality makes it one of the most distinctive produced wines in California. I don't know what that means.
Thank you. This is James Suckley, and I'm in here, and I'm going to review, read the review from my former employer that fired me because of, unfair work practice. It was a toxic environment. They wanted me to be accurate in my scores, and I said, what do you mean? I just gave that Chilean Merlot 700 points, and they said, well, we only have 100 points. Okay, I'll give it 100 points. And they said, no, it's not 100 points. What would you give Latour? I said, well, you won't give me the good things to drink. And then they mentioned why I wasn't wearing pants, and it went downhill from...
It did probably go downhill from there, James.
It was a mutual decoupling, let's just say that. Anyway.
Decoupling?
I got fired. Anyway, 95 of the spectator's points. And they said a brooding, complex core is wrapped in rich and briary flavors, mixing blackberry and redberry notes with accents of orange zest, baking spices, and black licorice. Drink now through 2026.
So, in the glass, it looks like Zinfandel. And I have restricted this wine by putting them in Riedel Venom Zin glasses, not the New World Syrah glasses. It's Zin, so it will be in Zin glasses, the tiny Zin glasses.
See,
I
would
prefer frustrates
the,
you.
I would. It does
that frustrates you. It does.
I think you're trying to hold it back.
I did that intentionally to piss you off.
Bastard.
Bitch. It's a Zin. Oh, you called me a some bitch.
Some bitch. But look what's over there on the table.
A Zin glass. That's another Zin glass, dummy.
That's not the Zin glass. That's a larger scale glass.
It's a Zin glass. The same glasses we got. It's just empty.
I'm talking about the one by the Toro case.
That's a Zin glass, you stupid fuck. That's the same. So. Oh, hold on.
Go get that. Damn it.
Dumbass.
Well, I was hopeful.
It was the same glass, folks.
In the glass.
In the glass. It looked like Zin. Very translucent. Watery edge. Event horizon. A lot of touch. Not a crystalline texture. No, it's none of those things.
It's none of those things. It's beautiful.
It's not something that looks like an Australian Shiraz where they've over-extracted and it looks grapey and inky. It's proper Zen where it's a crimson, dark crimson. There is a slight translucent, but Zen should have that.
I wouldn't call it translucent. It's what it should look like. Particularly as it's 6 years old.
Cedarman has, heroin in the glass, so that kind of clouds it a little bit. So
beautiful legs. Expect this to be alcoholic. What is the alcohol content on this?
Yes,
15. No.
There
you go,
buddy.
Fairly
low.
Oh, Jesus.
But it is. You can get some of their Amador shit, and they're going to have like a 16 and a half, 17.
This is a good size Zin when it comes to the alcohol. Winemaker notes, the Hain Vineyard is one of our most exceptional sites, located in an idyllic and warm yet breezy spot on the west side of St. Helena. Honored to have worked with this vineyard and the Hain family for over 25 years. Property's been in the same family since 1876. The head-trained, dry-farmed Zinfandel vines planted in 1902 and 1903 produce wines of power and elegance. Year after year, the wine serves as the archetype for Zinfandel and Napa Valley. 2016 is striking in its elegance. Noble red and blue fruits and fragrant purple flowers on the nose shine through onto the palate as well. That's exciting. Texture of this wine is truly exceptional, indicative of its blue-blooded, deeply set roots, lovely, lively acidity up front, refined and delicate on the mid-palate, then swiftly followed by immense structure, depth, and power through the finish. These are 116-year-old vines.
That's pretty old.
On the nose, you do get that subtle, yet present, that fragrant.
The briary fragrance. It's
the purple flowers, the violets. Lilac a little.
It has a softness to it, but it is extremely perfumed.
The perfumey nature of it is the...
Imagine what it would have in the bigger glass.
Yeah, imagine what it would have in a bigger, more profound glass for a wine of this.
This is the proper prominence. Glass for this one.
You're a prominent
It's
ass.
A minor glass.
You're a minor.
We also have a lot of wine in our
You're glass. A minor ass.
We have Christian pours. Bit of chocolate. Blackberry definitely is prominent there.
It's a wonderful, albeit subtle nose. You know that you with this nose, you know that it's got some time on it. It's 6 years might be a little bit early, but yet it's long enough.
I think it's in the very comfortable window. Yeah, this nose is a nose that is not overstated. However, this is a serious wine by drinking it. It's well crafted, and it's extremely, extremely representative of Zinfandel.
I can't wait any longer.
Neither can I.
What the winemaker mentioned this, that you've got a lively acidity up front. As soon as it hits your tongue, it's there. And this is 6 years in the bottle. The acidity is wonderful on this.
This is the thing. This is very much like many extremely good Zins. the difference between this and very good Zins, and I'm talking like, for instance, Dry Creek Zinfandel. They're $20 Zin. All right. I'm not trying to be cheeky about this wine. So you have that wonderful wine. This is almost, it has hints of the spiciness from Dry Creek. The difference between Hain and those wines, or say even like Turley's Juvenile or their Old Vine. The difference between this is you get the flavors up front and you get the spice and whatnot, but that's just the introduction. This wine has length that it never is seen in Zinfandel. It just doesn't exist. As I speak, I'm tasting the oak that is cycling through, but the
I think
fruit,
I'm gonna have a heart attack before this thing finishes.
The fruit lasted for a minute. The spice lasted for a minute. It's an obscenely long wine, which is so unusual. We'll get to breaking it down here in a little bit, but the first impression is it's just the length of the wine that makes it so much of an outlier. Now, beyond that, Zinfandel, like many of Turley Zinfandels and many Zinfandels too, can taste somewhat boozy and drippy. Mm-mm. This wine doesn't do that.
Mm-mm.
It almost transcends Zin because you don't get that kind of length and presence. Really, it has a presence in Zinfandel. It doesn't do that. So if you liked Great Bordeaux, here you go. Here's your Zin to drink. That would satisfy you.
This Zin has a French side about it. The texture of it. I think Parker used the word satiny. There's just a point in this wine where you know this is something different than you're not going to have every day.
Oh, it is. It's so. It's almost like it's a greatest hits album of the things that we like. Yeah, we like Zinfandel, but we like pops of things that remind us of Bordeaux. Yeah, we like Bordeaux, but we like pops and things that remind us of Rhone. Yeah, we like Rhone, but we like things that remind us of, you know, California Cab. Okay, it does all of those things. It really does.
And
it's a greatest hits album of red wine with having Briary Zin in the background. It's kind of the frame. It's a very special wine in that regard. Many wines don't do that. Now, does this wine have the overall panache, the grandeur of great Chateauneuf or great Bordeaux or
let's stop our comparison there. It's not fair.
No,
this doesn't have that.
No
lineage, but what this is, what is goes, the best it, it of goes, old vine Zin from California.
It goes beyond what Zinfandel normally tries to achieve.
Fact.
And it avoids some of the pitfalls that we don't like very much. And so you when you start factoring those things in, you go, well, this is a very unique, special wine. It reminds me of all the things that I like about Zinfandel. It brings in elements of other things that I really like, and it never strays into an area that is objectionable or problematic. And that's such a wonderful thing, because even like there's great Zinfandels in Amador. Tremendous Zinfandels in Amador.
His style, not mine. Not my favorite.
Yeah, that's the thing. But that's style preference. Specific. I don't know that anybody that drinks Zinfandel that wouldn't find this wine to be a special wine that is extremely drinkable. Becky might not love it as much because it doesn't necessarily adopt what she calls, and I'm not sure what that is, the Turley mouthfeel.
Well, but I think to some degree, this is beyond the Turley mouthfeel because of the length of the finish. If you've got the traditional Turley mouthfeel, that more buttery, layered thing on the tongue. Doesn't fit with this finish.
Well, the beauty...
It doesn't fit with this finish.
You know what it is, though? Some wineries... And this is not a Turley Love Fest, although we do like Turleys.
Yes, but it is. Speak for yourself.
Wineries sometimes feel that when they get into a certain price range, they have to over-impress you with flavor and oak and fruit and all these other things. They have to
manipulate.
Well, not even that. I'm saying it's natural, but they just have to overdo it with extraction. They leave the skins on too long. They say, you know what? This wine costs $120. That means we have to give them something that is a freight train wrapped in jelly that is on fire. I mean, something that is beyond belief, and it can be too much, right? But Turley, in this wine, has said, we reject that idea. We are making a wine that is an amazing representation of Zinfandel in its basic sense. I mean, that's what it's... The basic, you know, bread and butter Thanksgiving dinner Zinfandel, if such a thing exists. Your bread and butter Zin. What everybody loves about Zin, classic Zin, Dry Creek, whatever. You know, nice briary fruits, nice length, a little bit of length, and a nice spicy finish. That's its base. That's the base of this wine. Then you expand on that. So say you love a painting, all right? So say someone takes that basic painting that you like and makes this big fucking mural that's the size of a fucking house. You know, and it's the same thing. But it's discontinued. So there's more of the greatness that you already like. That's what this wine is. It is the best version of what Zinfandel is supposed to be.
Except.
In a pure sense.
Except what this wine is that person took that painting.
Yes.
And then they took it and made that mansion, right? It's this expanse of a mansion.
Well, yeah. You know.
And then Turley took that mansion and they took it and made it into Mount Rushmore size. This is the best of the best from winery that takes Zinfandel and embraces the terroir of the different regions in California that Zinfandel grows so well in. They specialize in recapturing and revitalizing old vines. This is the best of the best. We need to go back to the beginning and break this wine down. This has so many things going on.
Well, let's also go back.
I'm not sure we're ever going to have a wine that has more going on.
You two can join the Turley, the direct list. They ship everywhere, and it's pretty fair, obviously. You know, you buy six bottles, and it's $5 a bottle to ship. It's really... Really, really fair. But, I mean, you're limited as to what you can get initially, but they'll get you on there. They'll get you some wine. And you normally can get Haynes.
Haynes offered, too.
Yeah.
You get one or two bottles offered.
And that's something... And you're going to pay $75 plus shipping for it. You're not going to pay $130 and have to search for it. You can buy it.
Like, my cousin finally signed up to the wine list, and he was offered Haynes.
Yeah.
And I think you bought some of this and set it back, bro. Set it back for 5-6 years. Wait for it.
I don't buy Hain, but that's fine.
Yeah, you didn't used to buy Hain.
Nah, I'm still not going to buy Hain. But...
Oh, bullshit.
Oh, wow.
Go fuck yourself.
Well, Scott, let's just talk about this.
Let's be honest. No, we're going to break this down, but I'm confronting you right now.
Yeah.
You're not going to buy Hain after having this?
Well, let me tell you why. First of all,
that's a simple yes or no.
The 16 is an exceptional vintage for Hain.
Oh, you're such a
The
douche.
Rest of the vintages got 83s.
You're so full of shit.
Well, people believe Trump when he says that shit, so why shouldn't they believe me? No, really.
94, 96, 97, 97.
It gets strong vintages all the time.
Yeah,
I don't know what the 18, 19, and 20 have gotten, though. They're on here. Historically, it's a good one. I don't know that I'll buy it or not. I can't say one way or the other, Scott. We'll see. But I like to. Honestly, I really like Juvies. But then again, I hadn't had Hain recently. And
I thought you said you hadn't ever had it before.
No, I've had it.
Mm.
That and the Petite Sirah. What do we have at the refectory? That was Petite Sirah.
No, I don't think we had the Hain.
No.
Zin. I think we had the Petite Sirah.
Yes, but I've had the Zin otherwise. And I like it, but I didn't really think about it too much then. But really, that's the thing that I like about this wine, though, so much, in the fact that it's... And one thing I hate about certain places that do things like this is they're trying to overdo it. They're trying to overcompensate. And this wine doesn't do that. This wine is just, we know what Zinfandel is in its purest. We're going to make a Zinfandel like that. That is just an exceptional version of that, that has elements that you never really thought should be in it.
Let me stamp an exclamation point on what you just said.
Yeah.
Turley
did that.
Never overemphasizes a wine.
Not really.
Turley's the real deal. Let's break this down, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Where I would like to start, where I think the star of the show in this wine, there's multiple stars, there's multiple co-stars. If this was a Oscar-nominated movie, it would like have 9 supporting actors and 18 supporting actresses. But the best actor for this Oscar-winning movie would be the finish.
Mm-hmm.
The lengthy finishes. Good God. World record finish? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Where would you go next? What do you think of the front palette, sir?
Well, I think it's a menagerie of red and maybe a little bit of whiff of blue fruit. The main thing is red currant and raspberry. A little pop of blueberry. I think you mentioned that off air just a little bit, and I somewhat agree with that. Kind of just in the fleshiness. It just adds a little bit of fleshiness
to
it.
And I think for me, maybe the blueberry comes in with that pop of acidity. You know, the first thing on when you, if you're quaffing this and you're going to draw air on it and pull air through it, the first impression is it has a lively acidity.
Mm-hmm.
In a 6-year aged wine, it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That acidity is perfectly balanced. And maybe that's where that blueberry comes from.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I mean, then you're getting into maybe a slight bit of tobacco leaf. And you're dealing with some other things that are just lovely. My favorite thing, though, really has got to be... there's a lot. But... you have tobacco leaf that leads into the spiciness, which is kind of the artful use of oak, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
And possibly just maybe a little bit of the age is kind of exposing that. But it's not an old wine for that matter.
No.
Though. So
I think for me, the spiciness is almost like a a Chinese leaning allspice.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that pops into the finish a little bit, there's just a slight minerality that I'm going to go with almost pencil lead.
Well, that wouldn't be surprising. I'm sure there's a little Petite Sirah.
In the finish.
Mm-hmm.
In the finish.
Yeah.
God, what a beautiful wine. And... $130 is what wine.com shows. We're getting it at the mailing list priced at $75.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that price.
$75?
Nothing wrong with that price.
No, it isn't.
It's a special, 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 special wine.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, it's no secret. One, we love Turley. We just do. They do it the right way. They do so many different things so well. But this is their special wine and their special tea in making wine. Zinfandels. Old Vine Zinfandel. And this is the rock star of rock stars. I've been holding on. This is the first bottle of Hain I bought.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, this is the one, man.
Really?
This is the one, and I've been holding on to this for a long time. And God, I'm not disappointed.
It's a good bottle of wine. It really is. I mean, good is not a nice term.
Good is...
It's a great bottle of wine. I mean, it really is. And my love of it is, the fact is, it's not overstated. It's just great at what it is. I mean, it really is a great wine. I'm just demonstrating what California Zinfandel can and should be.
And is. And
I mean, it's the greatest example of Zinfandel. Not pumped up.
Nope.
It's just the best version of Zin. And I love that.
And I understand, you know, one, I wish Becky was here to have this with us. Well, because you get more of it that way.
Damn straight. Go play some Twister.
But Twister.
Wonder if they're playing some Fats Domino while they're doing that.
Or are they playing like
Rocky we did last summer. I was in a high pitch. Yeah.
Or Rocky Horror Picture Show in the background.
I lost my thrill on Blueberry Hill. Who did that? Fats Domino? Still?
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't know why you'd do that when you're playing Twister. But.
Or why you would sing that when I brought up a Rocky Horror Picture Show reference.
I don't know. I don't like Rocky Horror Picture Show. I know you do, but...
It's a great show. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Rocky Horror Picture Show is an American classic, sir.
I mean, actually, don't answer what's wrong with you, because that would take too much time. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, off the air, Scott made some very off-colored jokes about the Greeks.
Not as off-colored as Rob made about the Greeks.
I didn't have an original joke. I just suggested
none of your jokes are original.
I was just going back in antiquity. That has nothing to do with what you just said. But nevertheless, on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to ask Scott some questions. I'm not going to answer them because I'm too drunk. So... I'll slur my words, so the less I speak, the better. Which is, Scott,
our listeners are saying, thank you, God.
No, they're not. They're saying, when's Wilford going to be on the show?
No, they're not.
I can't come on the show and Rob the Wine Guy is drunk because he forgets about the voice. He has to be sober for that. You know, Scott, you know what happened one time when I was sober?
When were you ever sober, Wilford?
When they took my fingerprints at the police station.
You've never been sober when they've done that.
No, that was 3 days after they arrested me. I have a complaint about that, but, you know, yeah.
Were you having a good time? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't have pants on, so you draw those conclusions.
You never have pants on.
You were there. You should know.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know you knew where, you know, Tupelo, Mississippi was, but there you were.
There I was in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Not much of you.
Who did I see?
You had
Wilfred
no,
Wrong.
You had no pants on either. It was fantastic.
No, I always keep
it
my
was
pants
a no pants party, and we played Twister.
That's not the kind of parties I go to.
Sir. No, we wrestled though. We didn't play Twister. We wrestled naked.
When I wrestled last summer.
There's a lot of men that wrestle naked, Scott. Don't feel bad about it.
No, there aren't.
It's common.
It's not.
It is in my life. I wrestled many men when I was naked.
Back to the questions.
That's the best time to wrestle them because they don't expect it. They say, is that naked man coming closer to me? And they get kind of scared. That man's really, he's naked. And he's really, he's invading. Oh my God. He's wrestling. I have the advantage in those bouts. I still lose, but so they don't want to wrestle a naked man. See, Rob the Wine Guy has two rules in his house for his children. Never fight when you're naked, and never fight a naked man. See, there's two rules. He raised his children on that basis. And that's a good idea, because you know why? First of all, why the fuck are you naked and fighting? That's a question. But then, what the fuck is wrong with a guy that would fight when he's naked? He's on something, or really wants to touch you. I'm the touch you guy. And so, you know, I've got the advantage. They're like, is that guy naked? And then I have wrestle him. That's right. But you were already naked, so you had the same idea. I pinned you.
So why do your children punch you in the balls when you come out of the shower? I don't understand.
This is Wolf. I don't have children.
I'm talking to you, Rob the Wine
Guy. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. They do that because they're violent like me.
They are violent. Your children are violent.
They are.
Not really. Mostly Luke. He's just an enforcer.
He is an enforcer.
And a play with your digital tools thing. He loves pulling out the memory card and different devices related to your satellite TV.
Mm. So tonight's potpourri, Scott. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to say a winery.
Are you going to talk about asking the question, or are you going to ask the question?
It takes some setup because it's kind of complicated. Yeah. I'm going to name a winery, and then you're going to have to tell me, in your opinion, assuming that you know the winery.
Yeah, I have to know the winery first.
Their best and their worst wine that they make. Are you ready, Scott?
I'll be really ready if you turn this music up for just a red hot second.
We'll get demonetized. Digital Underground. Like a DJ just denying you.
My name is Humpty. Pronounced with a umpty.
We've heard you try to rap on this.
I love this.
Digital Underground Humpty Day.
I have this album and it'll be mounted in my basement.
Mounted?
Yeah, it's in a frame.
Oh, okay. Okay. You have the vinyl.
And the vinyl.
Wow.
And the vinyl. No, it's a great cartoon character on the front of it. It shows him with a wooden nose. Laundry clip on his nose. It's freaking fantastic.
Scott has the tape cassette and he's going to mount
a track.
Yeah. So, Scott, the first winery I'm going to name is Turley. What is their best and worst wine? You have to be specific.
Best wine is the Hayne,
mm-hmm.
St. Helena, Zinfandel. My favorite.
I didn't ask about your favorite.
What's their worst
wine?
Kiss my ass.
Make Christina Turley cry.
This is my answer.
Yeah,
sir.
It's got to be correct.
My favorite wine of theirs is the White Coat. Oh. Love that bottle of wine.
Okay, what's the.
Particularly for the price point.
What's their worst wine?
Not a fan of their Lodis. I don't.
What about their Cinsault?
No. We like the Cinsault, sir.
That's fine. Yeah.
We like the Cinsault, particularly for the price point.
You have to be specific, though, to the wine.
You've liked the Judge Bell. Judge Bell's not my fave.
The Judge Bell will make you forget about yesterday and tomorrow.
When they've got plenty of those, you know.
Yeah,
Their mountainous, any of their mountainous ones, the Dragon, what.
Their wine will make you forget about today, tomorrow.
It's just, and it's not that it's a bad wine. It's just stylistically, it's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there was one we had, and you had the same bottle, where it was just like it was a little nondescript, and I can't remember what it was. Wasn't the Hemingway.
Sadie Upton.
The Sadie Upton was the one we just didn't care for.
And the Dogtown.
You didn't like the Dogtown. I did.
Yeah, but Sadie Upton is...
It was just a little nondescript for us.
It just didn't get it. Some of the single vineyard stuff, I mean, the Highway 101 is okay. But I think we have zeroed into the ones that we know that are really, really good.
Well...
Pacenti, Uber Ruth Naturally. Duarte is not my favorite either.
Right.
Contra Costa. And we all, folks,
it's probably the Duarte. Probably the one. And it's not that it's their worst.
It's an oddball.
It's just not our style.
And I think we've talked about Contra Costa before. This one has a bit of a rubber band kind of quality to it. Every vintage.
Well,
it's just weird.
And look, maybe there's people that love that bottle of wine, and that's fine. It's just not our thing.
Especially if you have condoms in your mouth all the time.
But, you know,
I like the taste of rubber between my lips.
The other thing that we love about Turley is, oh, to live on Howell Mountain. We love their Howell Mountain stuff.
I'm looking forward to their their Brandlin. But no. Yeah.
Say it again.
Rattlesnake.
No, say this.
The Brandlin.
The Hoo.
Yeah. But Rattlesnake.
Historic region.
Dragon
in California.
And Cedarman. I just had a 17 Cedarman not too long ago.
And Cedarman, for the price point on Turley, is one of their best values.
I forgot where I was.
It's a big two. Isn't Cedarman 15.916? It's like huge. 16.1?
It's in the
16s.
Yeah. 16.1?
Depending on the vintage.
It's a four-person wine. Yeah.
Unless you're experienced. How many times have you shared a bottle with anybody? Do you ever share a bottle with anybody?
Oh, Scott, we're going to drink one on the show.
My name's Rob. I'm an alcoholic. I drink Cedarman by myself.
Yeah, I should just put it in a syringe and inject it straight into my veins. It's just a difference. Next vineyard, Scott. I'm going to ask you, this is difficult. But we've drank all their wines, pretty much.
Howell Mountain.
Apatagua. Oh. We really have drank most of their wines. I don't know that you remember them, because you're drunk. But let me refresh you. We have had both of their Pinot Noirs, the Collection, whatever it was, their standard. We've had both their Cabernets, their Grand Reserva, we'll just call it that, the Inverno, and their standard Cabernet. We've had their Malbec. We've had all of them, actually.
I think, honestly, the one Carmenier that we didn't like, or maybe it was the one that I didn't like, was the upscale of the Pinot. We didn't care for that one as much. And everything else, we love the Cabs, the Malbec.
Everything would be the Malbec.
That is your least favorite?
Oh, yeah. It's fine. It's just a fucking Malbec.
But I thought...
The favorite I thought was the Grand Reserva Cabernet.
Yeah, well...
In retrospect, not originally.
Well, I really like that.
Well, I've had it since then. And the next time I had it, I appreciated it more. I had it down in Louisville in the spring. It was the last bottle we had. But
the one I remember for sure, we liked the base Pinot, which was the first thing we had on the show.
San Antonio.
Versus the upscale Pinot. It just wasn't as good as the base Pinot. It just wasn't. And it wasn't
worth three times the money.
I haven't bought it since then.
You can't find it.
Well, fact, but...
I bought three bottles of... I still have a couple of bottles of the Apatagua base Pinot. I just bought three bottles not too long ago.
I buy it all the time. If you... Folks, if you can get your hands on it, it's San Antonio.
We've probably drank, between Scott and I...
Three cases? Four cases? Three. I don't know.
I'd say a good two or three cases of Apatagua.
I think... I bought it.
We've drank a lot of it. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Listener on the show recommended it, and
Douglas.
It's freaking fantastic, folks.
Yep. Douglas brought Apatagua into our lives.
$13 still. I think you can still get it for $12.99 a bottle.
I just did. Good value.
You can't find a better value.
Their Grand Reserva, the Inverno, whatever it is, it's only 15, for fuck's sakes. Their Cabernet is a really good Cabernet, 15. Their base Cabernet, $12.99, it's better than anything you're going to find in California.
Fact.
But I mean, I would still do the Santa Carolina Cabernet at the same price, or the Santa Emma, But it's still pretty good value for $12.
I think you're going to find a little more, because we had some variation in Santa Carolina. There was a year we didn't like.
Yeah, but the 18 was delicious.
It was fucking fantastic. It was better than anything we'd had from the Apatagua cabs.
Oh, sure.
But there was that other one that just wasn't good. I forget which year it was. Maybe a 17. But listen, Apatagua, they do a great, great job. I think it's harder to find a winery that's more representative of high quality, introductory priced wine from Chile.
Mm-hmm. And then moving on, now we're going to go over to Ferrari Carano. Best and worst.
So I'm not as familiar with their entire portfolio.
The stuff you've had. Have you had their Cabernet? I don't know that you have.
I don't think I... Dude, I know we've had like the Fumé Blanc.
Mm-hmm. You've had the Merlot.
The Merlot is...
Well,
the Merlot is my favorite. Let me say this. I'll tell you why.
Their Cabernet is the epitome of what Alexander Valley Cabernet is supposed to be.
Which, we love Alexander Valley.
Why don't you buy that? You like Alexander Valley Cabernet. See it everywhere, man.
I don't see it. I don't
see it. Wine.com right now.
Okay. Oh, fine. But because when I look for Ferrari Carano, you know what I want? That fucking creamy Merlot.
Well, you're wrong, then.
No, it's fine that I'm wrong, but we love that Scott, Merlot.
This is the thing about Ferrari Carano Cab.
That Merlot.
Ferrari Carano Cab. If you like Silver Oak, don't drink Silver Oak. Just drink the Ferrari Carano for,
35? What is it? 35?
32 right now, okay, as opposed to 33. As opposed to 90 for the fucking Silver Oak. I mean, or Stone Street or anything. It is a great, great... Or Jordan, or Jordan, if you're stupid.
Well,
just buy the Ferrari Carano for Alexander Valley. You're not going to regret it. Great cab. But for the ones you have, I suppose you'd say the Merlot the best.
Well, just haven't had as much the Ferrari Carano as you have. Didn't we have a white of the Ferrari Carano?
Well, we've had the Fumé Blanc.
I
don't think we've done the Chardonnays. We might have done a Pinot Grigio. Remember they have the Italian line with the Siena?
Maybe we did that.
We like Siena, but we haven't had it in several years. Probably.
Is that one of the ones where we had the same vintage and there was like some distinct variation between it?
We had Siena at Canaletto in Las Vegas. Okay. But we've had it. That was 2017.
Mm-hmm.
That was 5 years
vintage,
ago.
Vintage, right.
But no. That was the year we had it. It was probably 15. It was
probably a 14 or 15.
But we were drinking a lot of it 4 or 5 years ago. But we stopped. I haven't touched a bottle in 3 years, 4 years. I have no idea what's going on with that wine currently.
Yeah, I remember the Siena.
Because I've decided if I want to drink Italian wine, I would drink Italian wine.
Well, but for me, the bottle I loved is the one I fell in love with was the Merlot. It's a distinctly different Merlot. So we've talked about the Turley mouthfeel. Actually, not ad nauseum in this episode, but Rob made a reference that he wasn't certain how Becky would feel about the Hain because it didn't have that distinctive Turley mouthfeel. It's an elevated mouthfeel. It's almost a creamy dairy thing. There aren't many wines that exhibit it. Ferrari Carano Merlot has that dairy, creamy, almost a Turley mouthfeel. That's what I love about it.
What was the last time you had that? It's been a long time since I've had that.
We don't see it in our marketplace.
It used to be at Kroger, didn't it? It is.
And it was.
You can buy it at wine.com, but then you're always buying something different than that.
And I actually haven't seen it there either. The price point changed.
24 is what.
Yeah,
it
was like 20 when we first started. No,
there's still a Giant Eagle. I still see it at Giant Eagle.
It needs to be back in my life. I'd be interested to see if it's changed.
Buy it and we'll have it on the show just to see how it is now.
Why not?
I'm kind of curious because it was a hot minute since we've had that.
Oh God, that was first year maybe.
Yeah.
Second year.
I'm kind of curious some of those wines we had then how we would feel about them now.
I know how I feel about it. It would break my heart if I felt differently.
You'll feel differently, I'm sure. No. They make solid wines. They don't make bad wines.
Troy Cronos got it going on. I think the last bottle I had was on vacation. I had a Fumé Blanc. And I think I got it on a steal, like at like $15 at this shaky.
It should be $13.
Then I, whatever it was good. Troy Cronos, $13?
I got, this is the thing, Scott.
I think all above $15.
I got a bottle of Ferrari Corona Fumé Blanc and two Riedel Cabernet Sauvignon glasses, Venoms, at Jungle Gems, I think for $40.
Say that again?
I don't feel like it.
A bottle and two Venom glasses for $40.
Yeah.
You were dinging and denting and putting it on clearance. He does that all the time,
folks.
Don't
be bitter. Don't be a bitch about it. It's just the way it is.
He has no integrity.
Mm. But, yes, exceptional. And I have one more winery to ask about. But I don't recall what it was. No, I'm just joking. Actually, I don't recall. Scott, do you have any more parting thoughts?
Strawberry wine.
No, that's not. That's
kind of sweet.
Why is Chris Stapleton's, George Jones, isn't it?
That's Chris Stapleton's version.
I know, but he didn't write that.
But he sings it rather well.
Yes, he sings it better than it was originally. It shouldn't be on the Belle Vue station, but you have any more parting thoughts, Scott, about the best and worst?
You know, if you've got a good vineyard, it's hard to say that they've got a worst wine. It's really just comes down to personal taste.
Best and worst, J-Lore.
It's like, what's best and worst of Quilceda Creek? Heights Cellars.
What's best and worst of J-Lore? The best is the bottle that got broke in the warehouse. The worst is everything else.
Oh, there's J-Lores we like.
No, there isn't.
Fucking Hillside, dude.
Hilltop.
Excuse me.
And it's gone to shit. It used to be great.
Loved it.
We used to love it. I loved a lot of things in the past, you know, and I don't love them now.
Yeah, because you're a better man.
But I'm a better man. That's can't find a better man.
Who told you that?
No one did.
I know.
But
nobody told you.
We
that.
Loved it with brisket and cheese whiz, but we don't love that wine now.
So. Brisket and cheese whiz. And karaoke.
Yes, for a restaurant that's very much closed.
Wow.
Because of you. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. The 2016 Turley Hayne Vineyard Zinfandel from St. Helena. I am going to start off the reviewing.
Ooh.
Or, Scott, do you want to go first?
No, you go ahead, sir.
No, you go first. I've changed my mind.
First of all, there needs to be a new shelf.
A new shelf?
Yeah.
What, one lower?
Oh, no. Much higher. It needs its own shelf.
Okay.
No, this is top shelf. This is Hall of Fame of the Hall of Fame of the Hall of Fame.
No, it's not. That's okay. Go ahead.
Kiss my ass. What this demands the respect of is a first generation winery that specializes in bringing vines back from the dead. And this wine is the epitome of their products, the high end. And I, Dare I say that at $75 our price, it's a value. It's spectacular. By the 14, way, 15 different things going on.
I was just looking at some of the empty bottles that we have around us, and we've drank some really fucking good wine. I mean, there's like who's who of great wine around.
What this wine doesn't have is there's a certain limitation of the Zinfandel grape. Will there be a Zinfandel grape that maybe you can age for 30 years? Maybe that'll happen with time.
Maybe.
But right now it's not there. But
it's not.
That is the limitation of this grape.
Yeah, but I don't know that's a fair element. I mean, you can't... I wouldn't necessarily factor in... You can say it has ageability, but... I don't think that it's fair to knock it. Well, no, I think I've talked about this before. Because
it's just a different caveat to the wine.
Zinfandel, in my opinion, I've said this on Uberuth, I think. You were very angry. Can only ascend to a certain point scale because it's a Zinfandel.
Well, and
it's not about the way it tastes. It's just everything else. Yeah.
I think this wine would make you rethink that.
No.
In terms of the point scale.
No.
This is spectacular. It takes Zinfandel to a new level of ascendancy. It's just, it's not something that's ageable for 40 years. And that's fine. Most wines in the world don't have that caveat, don't have that ability. What this wine is taking a varietal and showing you something you're not going to see anywhere else. You're not. This is the best.
No, not like this. No.
This is the best of the best for this varietal. Spectacular. I'm sorry. Bob underscored it. It's a 98. Now it's 96
to
98.
Come on, Scott.
What's your score, sir?
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
98.
That's my score.
That's the highest score you've ever given.
That's a fact.
Jesus.
It's what it is. It's the Olympic score for the bottle we're having, the glass in my hand.
Man, that's just...
And... There might be some bias on my part because...
Oh, you might?
I love
really?
Christina Turley. What can I say?
Good God.
No, like this I said, is...
She's married to a very handsome man that's a lot better looking than you.
No, he's...
And it isn't 70.
His eyes are too far apart. Okay. I think I have concern. No, this is...
Come on. You're just fucking around. A 98? Come on, bro. That's James Suckling scores right there.
This is...
No.
This is spectacular.
You're saying it's better than Clarendon Hills, it's better than the Pagal, better than Pone Canet. Are you high? It's not even in the same fucking stratosphere as those great wines. It's not even, like, it's not as good as Uberuth.
False.
No, it's not.
Oh, good God.
What's
wrong with you?
I think it's great. I'm giving it 93 of my points.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a good score. 93. Well, I'd say 93.95. I'm going to give it 93, which is unusual, but say it's a high 93. I think that the length and the fact that it takes pure Zen and says this is what Zen can be in its purest sense. And I think that's great. And I love that fact about it. It's an earnest wine. It's an honest wine. It's not a manipulative wine. I love those things about it. I love the pure things about it. And quite frankly, I don't give a shit. Scott gave it, and that's a fucking stupid score. But because then you're talking about it's collectible and it's ageable and all those. And Scott, it's not any of those things. It can't get.
Wine.
This wine, Scott, this wine ceiling is a 95. Because it's a Zinfandel. And Zinfandel's.
Oh.
Scott, this wine isn't as good as Uberuth. It just isn't.
I disagree.
Well, you're wrong.
I think this takes Zinfandel to a new level, and no, that's why I scored so high.
This wine takes it to the quintessential level that says this is what Zinfandel is. This is one of, from a purist standpoint, purist. This is probably the best Zin I've ever tasted from a purist standpoint. Not anything outside the box. I'm talking about right between the lines, Scott. Right between the lines. Not varying. Not saying I'm going to try to be something I'm not, or not. I'm not going to like risk anything. It is risk averse. It's right down the middle of the road. And it's the best of that. But at the same time, it doesn't take any chances. It is risk averse.
Oh my Lord.
And Scott, I don't want it to. I want it to be this. Yeah. I don't want...
It's
Scott,
so good.
I don't like those risks.
It's so
but,
good.
But, Scott, those risks sometimes pay off in those higher scores. So, for me, 93 to 95, I'm at the low end. Maybe it's a 95. I wouldn't argue with that. Anything above that, it's just fucked up. But 98's stupid. But I think it is the best version of the Zin I personally like. I can't give any higher praise to that. I think it's great, delicious, perfect for what it is. And that's why I give it a 93.
For what it is. Oh my God.
For what it is, a Zin. It's not Bordeaux. Oh, it's not something that's a classic thing. This, Parker gave it a 96. Great. Parker gives a lot of things a 96.
Actually gave it a 97, sir.
Okay. I have a Carmignier in there that he gave it a 97 too, and I bet it tastes like butt. I mean, whatever. Spectator gave it a 95. Great. I think 93 is low, but I said it's 94. So I just, for some reason, I can't go that high. I don't know why. I want to.
Well, because off air, folks. Off air, folks. Rob has always said, he's not that good. It's no, not that good. I've had it. It's not that good. And I said, when did you have it? And he's like,
A long time ago.
I think I've had it.
No, I've had it. It was a while ago. But.
Did he have it age? It's a 93 to 95. And it's probably 95, but I'm going to give it 93 because I'm a dick.
No.
It's, folks, it's spectacular.
It just doesn't take any chances.
You don't take any chances. You're just afraid to backpedal on what you said previously, which is fine.
I offered my co-hosting spot on this world-renowned podcast to you, so that's a chance.
It kind of worked out for you.
It didn't pay off, but Bo is looking far more appealing as a co-host.
Well, he's an attractive
man. I have a better party. I like Grand Selection Chianti. Fuck everything else. I won't drink you. No.
He would drink anything we broke a bottle of on the floor.
That's true. Not Parducci, because it's not Italian, even though it sounds Italian.
Well, if we used an Italian accent, he would drink it.
That's, I don't know. Bo's not really Italian. He's a Labradoodle. Well, flat coat Labradoodle, which is an ugly Labradoodle.
Well, you're an ugly Labradoodle.
He's stringy.
Hey, he's not ugly.
No, he's a less expensive Labradoodle. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what he was.
He's a flat coat Labradoodle. That's what it is. Where it's a straight poodle and Labrador, they fucked, they made him. That's right.
Yeah, he's all the things he's eaten in your household, he's very inexpensive.
Well, he wasn't stuff. He cost more than Rex, which was purebred and in fucking papers as a black lab. And he was a handsome black lab, very handsome.
And he didn't eat the things that Bo eats.
And we got that dickhead, and he cost like $50 more. Well. Fucking son of a bitch.
Well,
I'm mad at you, Bo, for being expensive and being shitty.
You scored Hain a 93.
Yeah. That's true. Well, yeah, man.
You're a dickhead.
You can't give it a 98. That's just fucking fuck retarded. I hadn't reviewed it yet. You thought I was going to get something higher.
No, I didn't.
You jack wagon.
I knew you were going to score low.
It's not low. It's a good score. You should be giving it a 94, 95.
It's, listen. I was going to give it a 97, but I gave it 98.
Do you need to change your underwear because of all the jizz in it? Is that what it is? You're all squishy there because you came in your pants? You fucking weirdo. So.
It's more on the chair.
Well, that's what Formula 409 is for. So, for Rob the Wine, and your hands to clean it.
Crusty.
Yeah, for Rob the Wine Guy. And Scott the Only Sweet Taxi Driver.
Sweet.
What? Sweet? Do you have anything else to say?
Kentucky. Okay. Bye-bye.
Sure. We're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.